Together. Working Together, Mariah's weekly program on humanitarian work. Working Together makes people better.
Good afternoon and welcome to the program Working Together, a program that comes to you every Wednesday from 1 to 2 p.m. And this is the program where we always discuss about the work of humanitarian organizations, government institutions, civil society organizations, and other institutions on how the services they are providing and making some changes in the communities. I'm Tidio Betty with you in the program today. So today in the program, we are turning our attention to discuss on the second phase of the Enhancing Communities Resilience and Local Government Governance Project that is being implemented in different parts of the country by different organizations. But today we shall be focusing our discussion on the work that is being implemented by World Vision South Sudan and how they are working with the government and other community members on in implementing this project. So we will explore the objectives, the aims of the project, the areas of implementation, and the expected outcomes of the project. So we will also hear from a beneficiary on how the project is making some change and impact in the communities where this project is being implemented. And with me in the studio, we have Kanyangus Sansole. He's the Business Development Manager for World Vision. Kanyangu, you're welcome to Radio Mariah Studio.
Thank you.
And we have Gaison Adikoba, the Project Manager from the Ministry of Finance and Planning. You're welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
And also joining us from WOW on telephone, we have Agot Maluat, who is our project beneficiary, and they will be joining us live from WOW on telephone. Hello. Hello, Agot. Yes, Kwesin Alhamdulillah. So, marhafi barnamik, anna gurabada barnamik tanna, u kalikwa mana fi line, okay?
Hello, Mark.
All right. Well, let me start with my guest in the studio. To start with, maybe I will start with the Ministry of Finance and Planning, as being the government institution. Tell us briefly about the second phase of this project. What is it all about?
Okay, thank you very much. As you have rightly said, my name is Gaison Adikoba. I'm the project manager for Enhancing Community Resilience and Local Governance Project under the Ministry of Finance and Planning. Mm-hmm. This project is an important project in that it facilitates access to services, strengthens flood resilience, and enhances institutional capacity for local service delivery and integrated disaster risk management at the national and subnational level. Let me quickly say who are the donors for this project. This mm-hmm. project was funded by the World Bank to the government of South Sudan at the tune of $150 million for a project period of 5 years. It started April 2022 and is going to end next year in March 2027. Okay. We have three important implementing partners. World Vision is implementing in WARAP. We have an International Rescue Committee is implementing in AWIL with Northern Bargazal. We have IOM implementing in a number of other places, about four counties and two administrative areas. Mm-hmm. So this project. And this project was built actually after the ECRP-1,
okay,
which was implemented jointly by UNOPS and IOM, which started during the COVID period.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I think it was quite difficult for the government to implement this project. So it was implemented by the UN agencies.
All right.
But before that, actually, this project was implemented by the government, local governance and service delivery project, which was commonly known as LOGOSEED. And it was so successful in that then the ECRP-1 came in, and then this is the continuation. I will say this is the phase three, actually, if we are to connect it correctly. Thank you very much.
All right. Then thank you so much. Now coming to Kanyangu, tell us your part you're implementing in WARAP. What is it that you're doing in WARAP?
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. I think it's already been highlighted by Gyson, the broader overview of it all. Our main task in WARAP is to implement and deliver on flood-resistant infrastructure. And also, it's not just implementation or not just construction. It's a lot to do with community engagement, bringing the communities together to identify what are the key issues, what are the challenges, how have they been affected by recent or past floods, and what's the main thing that they want to bring back to strengthen their resilience? What are some of the things they need to rehabilitate? And also, the core of our implementation approach for this project is anchored on one of World Vision's models, which is known as the community-based disaster risk and reduction model,
mm-hmm.
which it's one of its main pillars is engaging with the community and being community-driven and community-led.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Maybe let me come back to Gyson. Of course, this project is being implemented, and this is now, we call it the second phase. So you say that this is supposed to be called the third phase. Well, what are some of the outcomes of the phase one of the project that has led to the phase two of this project to come in?
I think the project was very successful in that it has established a number of infrastructural facilities, being primary healthcare unit, being classrooms, water yards, boreholes, which were actually identified by the community themselves at the Boomer level. Boomer Development Committee were formed, they were strengthened at the Payam level. A Payam Development Committee were formed, they were strengthened. And at the county level, county coordination team were formed, they strengthened. I mean, development actually belong to the local level. I mean, that is where they need to be empowered. And when you go to the counties where this project is operating, they will tell you, you know, the story of the project. I don't need to tell the story of the project because mm-hmm. they are fully involved. They are the ones who identify the gaps, mm. which project need to be funded. Not like any other project where people go to the field and say, I'm bringing you water, I'm bringing you this. But these are determined by this by the local level people, inclusive of women, disabled, you know, people with a special need. All type of groups are in the committees to determine what sub-project need to be funded in Payam A or in Buma A. So it is very, very democratically done. And I think I just enjoy that beauty where people can actually decide and say, this is the project. Mm-hmm. We tell them resources. This is the amount of resources, resource envelope for your Payam. How do you want to spend it? And mm-hmm. they come and identify. They say, okay, in this Buma, in this village, we don't have this. There's a big shortage here. We are going to take this project. They have a session to prioritize this project. This is a very, very successful project. You go across South Sudan, almost right from Lagos in almost 9 states, you find some of the project that has been done. All of them are functioning now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, Kanyango, if you can tell us briefly, like you've chosen to implement this project in WARAP State, what are those unique challenges that WARAP State is facing when we talk about flooding, and what do you aim to address?
Thank you for that. I think, as has been touched on already, one of the core criterias of us being directed to these locations
mm.
has been the impact of, what I would say, the impact of climate change,
mm.
the consistent flooding the continuous flooding, which comes with destruction of infrastructure, destruction of equipment, limiting social services for the people. So one of the core things that we are to do there is to work with the community to then identify that of all the infrastructure that has been destroyed by the floods, which ones do we prioritize? Which ones, as a community, which one would you say this is the most important
mm-hmm,
one,
mm-hmm.
that if we get this one up and running, then the rest as a community will be able to pick it up from there.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the main, some of the examples you find, the communities have different needs.
Yes.
So in some areas, they want a school. In other areas, they want a primary healthcare center. Some areas, they will just tell you they need new latrines. Some areas will tell you we need a good water points. So guided by those or by the list of demands that the community has come with, and with the guidance also working closely with the PMU for the validations and all the environmental inspections and all, this is then how we then proceed to then implement some of these and then make sure that we deliver on this particular infrastructure. And more importantly, it's the community that owns it, because straight after that, the maintenance committees take over and they are implementing.
Okay, now the demand of the community may be vast, that if we list them all, it may be long. So which ones have you implemented, or which structures have you managed to put in place at the moment?
Okay, so I think maybe just to give you a bit of some highlights in terms of what are some of the infrastructure that the communities prioritize. The counties we implement in is Twitch and Gogriao West. So you find one of the most important things that the communities are talking about is schools. So you see, like in Gogriao West, there's about 23 schools that were selected by the communities for rehabilitation. I think also what's important to note here is we are not necessarily building any new infrastructure, because there's infrastructure that was already functioning, which was developed by the government, and what it needs now is just rehabilitation, and the community would then prioritize those. You look at in places like Twitch, we are looking at around 54 boreholes that were set up for water yards, rehabilitation as well there. There's also a demand for women's centers. There's about four women's centers that have been established and set up in Twitch. So you see the varying needs, but what is important is these needs usually come out of the community dialogue, because you have to agree with the community that, okay, you've got 50 needs, and we are not going to be able to address the 50 needs.
Exactly.
So let's prioritize.
Now, looking at these facilities that have been selected, of the 23 schools and 54 boreholes, and then the women's centers, how many have you successfully rehabilitated?
Okay, so the rehabilitation is work in progress. Not all are completed at this stage, but I would say we are now over the 50% mark in terms of completion and handover. There are some facilities that are already functional, that have already been handed over to the communities that are functioning. Then there are some that are still in completion. And these are some of the things that, or some of the guidance and discussions we then have with our PMU colleagues with regards to looking at issues around the timelines and how we will ensure that there's quality completion of some of these things. So in summary, I would say it is work in progress at different stages for the different communities, for the different types of infrastructure. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let me come back to Gaison. Apart from implementing the programs in the construction or rehabilitation of structures, how is this project going to ensure that the community and is also benefiting from it in a way that they are either taking part in training and to ensure that the continuous running of this project?
Number one is, I think the one most important thing is the strengthening of the community structures, which is very key. This project trains actually with the local level authority, formalize Buma Development Committee, Payam Development Committee, and County Coordination Team. Some of these were enshrined in the Local Government Act, and intensive training are done to them so that they take the development of their local government into their hands. So that is number one thing. Actually, that's the biggest objective. Otherwise, the infrastructure is because of the need to improve these facilities. When my colleague here talked about rehabilitation, actually some of these are transforming under tree classroom to a better, you know, permanent structure. Some of them are primary health care centers that were put under grass thatch roof. We call it functioning facilities. So we transform it to a better infrastructure.
To a better structure.
Structures. So I think these to us is, at the end of the day, as I travel from here to Nimule side, you just cross the river, there's one facility that was done under ECRP 1 in Juba, just very near here before you reach even Serkat.
Okay.
And then you go to Aru, there's a health facility there, and other partners have come. You know, where this project has not put water, they've come and put water.
Mm.
They've come and, you know, did some a little bit of extension. So these are now fully functioning facility, and we thank the government for these initiatives.
All right. Yes, listener, you're still tuned into the program Working Together on Radio Miraya. And, of course, today we are discussing on the Enhancing Community Resilience and Local Government Project, the phase two of it. And today our focus is on the work that World Vision is implementing in Warab State. So joining us on telephone from WAO, we have one of the beneficiary who is going to tell us how it was like before the project was started, and maybe what changes the project has brought to the community. So let's go to, wow, Agot, are you online? Hello? Mama Agot,
yeah.
I'm Marhab, it's Amanna. Marhab, making a wheel in the same tackle by Kamil? Okay. So making wirilen na haja ala making tahadia taletum kangili gogo bal barnamik ta World Vision buwosu letum fi community tahadia dekan ya tu tahadia ti aitum gi digo.
Tahadia da ligiro gubal World Vision.
Tahadia au challenges aletum kangili go finehi ya ta flooding au fedanat gubal barnamik ta World Vision buwosu letum fi area.
Kami ni nama siapa yang kecil, nama siapa yang dah muda, nama terasan kapal sedih, terasa sedih, kata lakukan, kata lakukan, dia kalam kita muda, mereka ni kita dua jatuh, kan mana yang sibilit, kan ti mata ramai yang surprise, inai agam jenazan, om kacan, dua. Dua zaman lepas, mahu di mana tak, jaga kan begono, kau mampu kita mahu, kan mampu mahu tu beli, mahu kita serap mahu. Nak dua macam busa ke dengan nama, nak siapa busa ke dengan jaga kolor, nak.
Okay.
Dah sebab kan begana. Baluan vision.
All right. Utep, itum kan agder geni ma community au ma mutama asan fi discussion ale itum kan amolo gubalkida asan itum bi agder jama ideas gal de yao hajata nina derke de amolo le itum?
La.
Okay.
Dile, zan zaman na de zaman koloro de. Yao nas bukoruko, kalamoya. Rama na mati jab wal dijan jaban na manas. Yes, I'll comment.
Okay, so Hajat al making World Vision amuletum de Hajat Jesuno.
World Vision, Gural Town, Michelena, and after Gural Payama, Melena comes to Hajat. Melena, Sirik of you, the dark in Gural Town. But Melena, Mukeshwa, the Furumakwang. But Melena is cool, the Pawan. But Melena is cool, Untu. I'm going to go to the village. It is my mighty that woman who found the people from my mouth.
Mama kalikum kalimana fi line we shall come back to you and I'll be reja later but kida mungkin kedana reja le dev almana fi studio kanyangu how has this Boma Payam Development Committee been equipped to manage their own local development?
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the When our engagements began with the ministry, one of the major prerequisites or requirements was they needed to assess our capacity and ability to train and to capacity build committees and the Boma Health Committees. So as I mentioned, the program was, from our end, was designed around a community-based disaster risk reduction model, which fully equips these committees with various skills for management, so and at different stages of the infrastructure. So what you also need to understand is there are certain leadership or coordination skills that are needed at a certain stage of the infrastructure. So during the construction, even from site selection itself, there are certain techniques and skills that are needed and required. So we have a team also that also in with the support from the capacity building team in the PMU, we have a team that walks and worked closely with all these committees at every stage. But once you are confident that they can handle these processes on their own, our teams usually will then step back, then allow the teams to allow the committees to then approach us on a consultative level. Because now they are running the projects, they are now implementing. So all they are coming to do when they now reach out to us is to consult on certain key aspects. So if they are facing challenges with certain key elements. Making the groups function.
Yeah. Yes, listener, you're still tuned to the program Working Together on Radio Miraya, and we are going to open our lines. And if you have a question or a comment, or you need to also tell us how this project has made some changes in your communities, you can call us and share with us your comment on the topic of discussion today. So the number you can call on is 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. Those are the two lines you can call on, and you have your questions to the guests who are with me in the studio. And of course, with me in the studio, I have two guests, and one is connected live from WAO on telephone. In the studio, I have Kanyango Sansole, the Business Development Manager from World Vision, and we have Gaison Adikoba, the Project Manager for the ECRP second phase project from the Ministry of Finance and Planning. So in case you need to know more about the project, also you can as well call in and have your questions. I have a caller on the line. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Hello, yes.
Yes, you're welcome to the program on Radio Miraya. Who is on the line?
Yes, this is Jaden calling from Upper Nile, Malakal.
Jaden, yes, go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I have two questions. My first question is going to World Vision. You know that in this country, whenever a project comes to an end, that's the end of the project. So what is World Vision putting in place in terms of exit strategy? Should World Vision decide to pull out of that project? Will the project continue? That's one thing. The second, I just know from him, what are the challenges that they've been facing? Because now, I think he said this is the second phase of the project. It means that the first phase has gone. And he mentioned that we are talking about 150 million, which is a lot of money. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jaden, from Malakal, for your question. Let me take one more caller, and we shall get back to my guest in the studio. Hello, Radio Miraya.
Yes, Kiri Wete.
Yes, you're welcome to the program. Who is on the line, and where are you calling from?
James Kwanyang from Kirkat.
Yes, James, go ahead with your question.
Okay. I did release the video. I want to appreciate us for effort and deliver to our community. My question is, you say that you are working in Goreal West and Peach. What about this county in Warabu State, remaining now four counties? Mm-hmm. Do you plan to extend this initiative to those counties who are remaining? That's the one question. Two, mm-hmm. There is a contract was signed by the organization called FARCO to construct the office of the people of disability. But now it's still not completing. We are hiding, but still in Kwajuk. Mm-hmm. Still not completing. Why can you not take this contract? Because you are a working partner. So I ask you to take this office to mutual to us, because we people with disabilities, we need services who are given to the community, who are part of society.
Mm-hmm.
That is number two.
All right.
Number three, what are you planning? What is the planning? When you are signing this contract, then you are saying that we are signing the four borehole and the school. Then where you are finished, what you are planning again?
Okay, what you next? All right, yeah. Thank you so much, James, for your questions, and also Jaden from Malacca. Maybe I'll give the chance to my guests in the studio to answer all some of them. Of course, most of them are directed to World Vision. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think I'll focus on the question around the exit strategy,
mm-hmm.
and then I will probably have to defer the other bigger part to
okay.
our principals.
Go ahead.
Right. So I think maybe just to give you a bit of a brief, World Vision has been in South Sudan since 1989, and we operate in close to 27 counties directly and about 22 counties through partners. And across this, we have multiple projects and programs that happen. But if I zero in now on this specific question around the exit strategy, every project is designed or is initiated with an exit strategy already in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the most unique things about the ECRP2 project is we are implementing within an exit strategy. So because it is a government-led program, so we are just a partner. We are not even, there's not a single piece of equipment that we are going to own there. Everything is already sitting with the community,
mm-hmm.
which is why I said one of the core criteria the PMU emphasized to us even during our early stage engagements was the importance of us understanding that this is a community-led project. And
mm-hmm.
what does a community-led project mean? So in some cases, community-led project literally means you have to move at the pace of the community.
Mm.
And you cannot speed up any process if the community is not ready. You can't slow down any process if the community wants to move ahead. So we are implementing within an exit strategy.
Okay.
For me, that is how I would put it.
All right. Maybe let's also give the opportunity to Gaison to also give his part on some of these questions that have been answered from Jaden from Malacca and also James from Serikat here. Yes, Gaison?
Yeah, thank you very much, Jaden. Number one is, of course, in South Sudan, there are a lot of challenges when you're implementing projects.
Mm.
And the mere fact of getting materials to these states in Warab is quite far. And prices, inflation is catching up every day, and World Vision actually face a lot of challenges. But the good thing is the ownership by the community, by the government, at the various states. I think that is something that I want to emphasize.
Mm.
It's just so much that it made the life of implementation very easy. Of course, once in a while we have roadblocks that are not authorized. They also harass the contractors a little bit. The contractor complained to us, but we're able to overcome these challenges and manage to be able to implement. World Vision exit strategy, I don't want to talk about it. That is very, very clear.
Uh-huh.
About the remaining four counties from James.
Yes.
James, unfortunately, the county that were chosen are the two the most affected by the flood. So those one will be implemented. I remember during Lagos Seed, some of the counties have also benefited from the World Bank and the government project.
Mm.
But we'll not give up. As this is going to an end, we'll also look for some more funding, and then we'll target whichever area we want to see. I think PARCO, you need to, probably that's not a Lagos Seed project, and we don't have funding for that. So Malaise James, our plan is, if the community could talk very, you know, hard and appeal to us, the government will go ahead and request the bank to also look for additional finance, you know, because the needs are so much and the community need to benefit. Not only the donors, but also maybe the government will also put some more money into infrastructure. Thank you very much.
Yes, and we are just left with some few minutes to end the discussion, but maybe you still have time to call in and have your questions in the next 2 or 3 minutes. But let me first come back to Gaison. With the high number of refugees, returnees, and also internally displaced persons, how is this project ensuring that this group of people are accommodated?
I think the government of South Sudan has a very beautiful system of integrating special IDPs into the community. We don't have actual camps, IDP camps, in South Sudan, as far as I can remember. So they are part of the community. So when a project comes like this, ITT benefit both the community and the IDPs, including even the refugees. Unfortunately, we didn't have a big number of refugees in Warap, but we have places like Jamjang in Ruang State and Maban. In Maban, the number of refugees are more than the host communities. So actually, we had additional fund in Maban and Jamjang to cater for both refugees. It's double. The money is double, which IUM is implementing,
okay,
so that the needs of the refugees and the host community are taken care of. And some of them share the same facility. In school, both children of refugees and the host community just attend the same school. They go to the same health services, but we just need to revamp.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's get back to Mama Angot from WAO so that we come and conclude from the studio. Yes, Mama Angot. I am making a worry na kede etum gi amulusunu ma bagi nasfi community alfi motama asan cave itum biag der hafi su hajata la sala ole etum de beteriga kweis. Malis sota kisuya bei ked wanu sugeri ma telephone. Marha. Malis mama sota ki mawadi, sota ki mawadi. Aye. Okay. Mama mungkin anna bisibu kida leano sota kesui ya mawadi anna ma biasma ita beteriga kweis. Let me come back to my guest in the studio in the few minutes that we are left with. I'm sorry we may not be able to take more calls as our time is almost up. Now, coming back to World Vision, what is your single biggest message to our listeners today regarding how they can step up and participate in local Burma development committees?
Thank you for that. I think one thing we also need to really emphasize is this is a government project.
Mm.
It is a government-led project. We are just on board as implementing partners and facilitators of the government's vision, what the government wants us to do. So for me, it's to emphasize to listeners that I really believe these Boma development initiatives or committees are paramount to the future of development within the community. No matter how small it is, I think people need to make an effort to find ways and means of participating and providing agency
mm-hmm.
to those institutions, because those are the places where needs are identified, and prioritize the needs that you need, then begin to approach the relevant authorities as a unit to emphasize that this is the development that we need for our community.
All right. And now to Gaison, looking at, of course, projects come to an end, and after the end, sometimes that's the end of everything. What distinct plans are there in place to ensure that local communities take full ownership and maintain these facilities that have been rehabilitated?
Yeah. That's why we have structures, established structure at the local government level, up to the county, and up to the national level, by the way. So those structures, the Boma Development Committee, the Payam Development Committee, the county coordination team, the national technical working group, the steering committee at the national level. These are all layers of bodies that administer the sustainability of this project. The government has taken full responsibility of some of the projects that mm-hmm. have been completed under IOM, and they are doing very, very well. We have no doubt at all that none of these projects, some projects, are going to be abandoned. And my call is basically to tell our people that when you see World Vision, IRC, IOM driving with mm-hmm. the UN flag and the NGO flag, not all those resources are theirs. Some of them are put there by the government.
Uh-huh.
And many a times people give credit to World Vision, IRC.
Okay, just a quick one before we conclude.
Okay, all right.
Sometimes when the projects are implemented, you find resistance from communities. How have you managed with resistance?
The government takes the lead.
Uh-huh.
That's the only way. The uh-huh. government takes the lead, whether it's at county level, state level. We have to follow behind the government, and the government has to do the introduction of us into the community, and they will only leave when we are accepted.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot leave us like that.
And looking and back to the government now, looking at the current situation, sometimes the communities have less trust in the government. They say, no, this money is going to be eaten. How have you managed to gain this trust to ensure this project is implemented and is really making impact?
I think the community doubts about government management of the fund. We cannot complete the resit. But we want to build their confidence, especially with such project like this, funded by donor. There's a ring-fenced mechanism to safeguard this money. Not a single dollar can be put in Gaison's pocket or in the secretary's pocket mm-hmm. or the project director's pocket, because I think we the NGO are one of the best, and the UN agencies.
Thank you so much. I'd like to say that thanks to my guests who have been with me in the studio, and with that we have come to the end of our program Working Together, where today we discuss about the second phase of Enhancing Community Resilience and Local Governments project, which is being implemented in different parts of the country with the World Vision implementation in Warab State. And the guest with me in the studio has been Kanyangu Sansole, the Business Development Manager from World Vision. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And also we had Gaison Adikoba, the Project Manager for the project, and he's from the Ministry of Finance and Planning. Thank you for being with us. And we also had on telephone Amama Angot, who is a beneficiary, who told us also how this project has made some impact in the communities where they are in. And I would like to say thank you for everyone who has been part of this program. If you were you wanted to have a question to the guests and you were not able, we are sorry for that, and and we hope that next time in the program you will be able to participate fully and have your questions to the guest in the next discussion that we shall be having. I've been with you, Tidio Betty, saying bye for now, but keep tuned. The Arabic news is coming next, and after the Arabic news, we have the drive time taking over. Bye.
Working together. Working together. Mariah's weekly program on humanitarian work. Working together makes people better.